Hold on, take Aleph Amr Aleph, two lines from the top. Till now, we've been talking about a tnai the Mishnah had mentioned, where somebody says a tnai that you won't marry, that I'm giving you a gift and you won't marry me, and you won't marry plainly. Either we talked about is it almanach, that condition that you won't marry him, is it chutz that you're still considered an eishes ish to him. Now we're going to talk about the other way. What if somebody gives a get to his wife saying that the get is on condition that you do marry him? So she's not allowed to marry. We'll talk about soon who it is that she's not allowed to marry. But if she is married, she doesn't have to get divorced. Again, we're going to talk about what that means. My comma, what does the b'raisa mean? It means she shouldn't marry. She shouldn't marry that guy. He said, "I'm divorcing you. I'm a nas that you marry Reuven." She should not marry Reuven. Because people are going to say, if people are giving their wives to each other as presents, what's he divorcing his wife on condition that the other guy marries her? However, but if she ends up marrying somebody else, we don't want to force her to get divorced. We don't want to encourage such a tnai. We don't want to make it effectively that such a tnai is valid. Therefore, she shouldn't marry some other guy with a chila. But if she did, we're not going to force her to get divorced. The question is, Gemara says, what? So what are you telling me? Because of this gzera that you're afraid that people are going to think they're giving their wives as presents to each other, what are we saying that if somebody else marries her, we're not going to force her to get divorced from him. So what are we saying then? We're going to be mafter an eishes ish to marry somebody else. Remember, the tnai was only if she marries this guy is the get in effect. If she marries anybody else, on the face of it, the tnai hasn't taken effect and the get is futil, and she's still an eishes ish. So how can we say that because of gzera we're going to not force her to divorce the other guy? That's the question.
Also,
no, Christmas.
A woman is only mutar to a certain
person. We're saying almanas. We're not saying we're not saying, again, even when we talked about before with almanas, in principle, we're not saying that she's only allowed to marry him. We'll talk about. Well, I mean, there is. I mean, eventually, when we get to the Mafkana, you know, we're going to be dealing with that angle on it as well. But for the moment, at least, we're not concerned about the Christmas angle because, in principle, okay, he's saying it takes effect on condition that you marry this guy. There is the capability that she will marry this guy, and therefore the get will take effect. El Amar of Nachman Hachakamar. So no, rather of Nachman says no. Let's re-understand the b'raisa. It means harizu lo tinasalai. Again, the first part we understand, same as before. She shouldn't marry that guy who he said in his tanai. Shema yomer nishem nosin matana, because people are going to think they're giving their wives to each other as presents. V'imnisus loy loytetsu. But if she married him, that same guy, we're not going to force her to get divorced. Nevisham zera lo mapkinen. Because of Xera, we're not gonna force her to get divorced because she shouldn't be married to him. But for the other, she got married to him. Okay, we're not gonna enforce the Xera and say that she has to get divorced. First Tosfos says that Rav Nachman's first thought was that Rav Nachman's first thought in his first version was maybe we would say because of this Xera, we would say the concept that we've had before, after up on the Kedushin, that maybe retroactively the Chachamim will consider that the Kedushin to her first husband never existed, and therefore there's no need for a get in order to make it possible for the second, but we might think because we don't want her to marry this other guy, so because of this Xera, Nishayin Nostin Zelazet, maybe therefore Rav Nachman thought to say that she'll be able to marry somebody else. Maybe not Lachatchila, but at least B'diavad. If she did, then we'll consider that her original marriage never existed, and therefore that the get was never needed. Now, in Rav Nachman's second version, he's saying that no, just because of a gzera, Meshein Noisin Zelazet, is not a reason to be Mafia Kedushin. So therefore, we do have to assume that no matter what, they're learning this as we're learning, relax. You can, come on. We're sitting right next to each other. In the second version, Rav Nachman is saying, yes, there is this concern, and Shane knows Benzela there. That's not reason enough to say that we're going to be Mafkia the Kedushin. The original Kedushin and the original get definitely existed. We have to have that tonight somehow gets fulfilled in order for her to no longer be an Asia dish. How can we do that? Well, l'chatchila, we don't want her to marry this guy, because the shein knows things over there. But if she did, okay, at least the tanai has been fulfilled. Amalei Rava, so Rava says to Rav Nachman, what's the implication? Loi hu deloi tinase hala acha tinase. What is the Braita saying? According to you, when it says harezo loi tinase, that she's not allowed to marry, you're adding to the Braita, then you're saying that the Braita is implying that she shouldn't marry him. This person who he said that I'm divorcing you, I'm enough that you marry him. So what does that imply? She shouldn't marry him, lachatchila, but b'di'evit if she did, you're saying, b'di'evit you're saying if she did marry him, they don't have to get divorced. Hala achatinase, what are you implying though, Rava says? That she'd be allowed to marry somebody else, not the person in the tanai? Well, boy, kiyumal doesn't the tanai have to be fulfilled? So the Braita, according to you, in other words, according to Rav Nachman, Rava is asking Rav Nachman, according to you, why is the Braita only implying that she's not supposed to marry him, but if she did, like I said, she'd be saying she can't marry anybody. She can't marry him because Nishay and Noisman Zelazet, we don't want people to think that people are giving their wives away as presents, but she can't marry anybody else because of the Tanai. Marshall asked the question, what exactly is Rava asking on Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman himself started by saying that started by understanding the Braita, that if she marries somebody else, we're not going to force them to get divorced. Then he changed his mind because of the question that we had, that after all, the fact is she's an Ashes ish, because the Tanai hasn't been fulfilled. So Rav Nachman himself went back on his original thought that there could be a scenario over here where she's marrying somebody else. Why is Rava asking on him? Marshall asks the question. He himself gives an answer that maybe Rava would take the view that she might be allowed to marry the other person, but then have to divorce him. There's different other acharonim talk about different other possibilities, including that maybe the Tanai can be fulfilled later, maybe Rav Nachman himself changed his mind about the second part, the Venus Lo Tetze, whether it's referring to the guy mentioned in the Tanai or whether it's referring to somebody else. Not necessarily did he change his mind about the first part, who she's marrying. Maybe indeed, according to Rav Nachman, she couldn't in principle marry somebody else. That would be what Rava is asking. Anyway. So you might answer, okay, well, she can get married today, she can get divorced tomorrow, and then the Tanai will be fulfilled. So Rava's saying, in that case, maybe you, Rav Nachman, would be arguing that, yes, there is a possibility she's able to marry somebody else, because eventually she'll end up marrying, all she has to do is eventually marry this guy who was in the Tanai, and then retroactively it turns out that the get was a valid get. And therefore, Tosfos says, in that case, you don't have the Neshesein Noisin Matana Zelozev problem anymore, because the fact that you have somebody else in between makes it, people are going to know that eventually she's marrying this guy because of the Tanai, but we see it wasn't a direct thing, it was an indirect thing, so therefore we maybe don't have to worry about that Zera. And Ulahach Klugas Aleh Dirab Yehuda Kamadamisle. In that case, Rava says to Rav Nachman, maybe you think to compare this case to a different case in the Dorim that we learned about, that you, Rav Nachman, argue with Rav Yehuda. Namely, the Itmar, we have a discussion there in the Gemara. Somebody says, Koinam Eni B'Sheina Hayyamin Ishan Lamacher. I'm making a koinam, a neder, that my eye is also to sleep today. Now remember, we learned in Nedarim that Nedarim can only be chal. This was in today's Rambam Gimel Parakim. Besides if it's possible, because that we're not talking about. We're not talking 3 days a person can't go without sleep. We're not talking about that. We're talking about 1 day, or 2 days actually. But what we learned in Nedarim is that Nedarim can only be chal on something tangible. You can't say for a neder, that sleep is also to me. Sleep is not a tangible thing. It has to be a material thing. So the only way you could say it is my eye is also to sleep. My eyes are also to sleep. Your eyes are a tangible thing. My marshes, So if he says, I'm making a nether that my eyes are also to sleep today, im isham lamacher, if I sleep tomorrow. So he's saying on Tuesday, he's saying, if it ends up that tomorrow, Wednesday, I sleep, then my neder is that today, Tuesday, I should have been also to sleep.
It's impossible to fulfill.
Why is it impossible? It's only 2 days.
No, but if he has to sleep on the second day to determine the outcome.
No. It means, in other words, therefore, Amar Rav Yehuda, Al Yishan Hayom Shema Yishan Lamachos. Rav Yehuda says, indeed, this person is also to sleep today, because what happens if he can't sleep on Tuesday, because what happens then if he sleeps on Wednesday, then it turns out that he was over on his neder. So therefore, he should not allow himself to sleep on Tuesday, and that way, no matter what happens on Wednesday, he's fulfilled his neder. Either way, if he should not be allowed to sleep on Tuesday, because regardless, if he ends up sleeping on Wednesday, then yes, he was also to sleep on Tuesday, but he didn't sleep on Tuesday. And if he doesn't sleep on Wednesday, okay, no harm, no foul. So either way, he's covered. Well, in Eitz HaTorah, I mean, Rabbi Yehuda is saying he's also. We learned there that actually Rabbi Yehuda said he's also to sleep today, because he may end up with Lo Yachol Dvore. He may end up that he's over. He may end up breaking his letter, yeah. Zerub Nachman Omer, Yishan Ayoim Ve'en Choshen Shema Yishan Lamacha. Whereas Rabbi Nachman says, no, let him Gizun Tehet sleep today. Tomorrow, that just means tomorrow. He's going to have to make sure not to sleep. So, therefore, Rava says to Rabbi Nachman, that you think maybe to compare our case over here of the Gerushin, where you're saying, I'm divorcing you on condition that you marry plainly. Maybe you're comparing it to that case over there. So just like over there, you're saying you can go ahead and sleep today. We're not worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. You just have to make sure when it comes tomorrow that you don't sleep. You're thinking the same thing over here. He made it tonight that you have to marry plainly. So there's no problem. She can marry somebody else in between, as long as eventually she fulfills the Tanai and marries this guy. Problem with that is, Pachi Hashta, Rava says to Rav Nachman, how do you think to compare the two cases? Hasan v'digay taima, in that case, it's all dependent on him. In the case of the sleep, in the case of the neder, the whole thing depends on him. He could, if he wants, keep on Wednesday pricking himself with a thorn or something to keep himself from falling asleep. So therefore, yes, there is the possibility if he sleeps, he's able to sleep on Tuesday, not worried that he may end up being over on his nether, because he has the ability to force himself to stay awake on Wednesday. In this case, is it in her power to be divorced? If she goes, if her original husband said that it's al tnai that you marry Reuben, and she goes and marries Shimon, figuring eventually later I'll go and marry Reuben, who says Shimon is going to be willing to divorce her so that she'll have the ability to go and marry Reuben?
Who says Reuben will be willing to divorce her?
No, who says that Shimon?
Shimon.
Shimon, who wasn't mentioned in the tnai, would be willing. What would happen?
The first
husband, I'm leaving nameless because his name, we don't need him. He told her, I'm divorcing you, I'm going to ask that you marry Reuben.
Okay.
Now, so what are we saying so far? See, Rava is asking Rav Nachman. You seem to be saying, your understanding of the Braisa is like this. She shouldn't be marrying Reuben because you don't want people to think that people are giving away their wives as presents. Therefore, you say that, but in this location, if she did marry him, then fine, we're not going to force her to divorce. So Rava is telling Rav Nachman, however, you seem to be understanding the Braisa, that there's no problem with her marrying Shimon, some other person, and later, as long as at some later date she goes and marries Reuben in order to fulfill the Tanai, because otherwise if the Tanai never gets fulfilled, turns out retroactively she was an Ashes Ish, and her marriage to Shimon is no good. But how do you compare that to your case of a neder? A neder, you have the ability to make sure you don't fall asleep on the next day. She doesn't have the ability to make sure that eventually she marries Reuben. How does she have the ability to force that Shimon is going to divorce her? There is that also, because he might die or whatever. Okay, the fact that whether he might want to marry her is a different question, but that we're going to have later. The Gemara is going to talk about later the interesting possibility that she can, that if there's a tnai, the Gemara is going to talk about soon, if there's a tnai that she's supposed to marry somebody or have relations with somebody or whatever, she can always give the guy shoychat. She can always pay the guy off to do it. So there's less of a problem that as long as Reuben is alive, there's less of a problem of her being able to, of him being willing to marry her, because she can make it worth his while. The real question is, how is she going to get out of Shimon, given that a get is not hers to give? So Tosfos asked the question. There is actually a case. We learned in Ksuvos, We learned in Ksubas the concept that if a woman says about her husband, Mois alai, he's repulsive to me, I can't be with him, there's a major machloikas rishonim, whether that's basis enough to force him to divorce her. The Rambam says that we do. Almost all the other rishonim say that we don't. So according to the Rambam's shita, then, you have a real question. Actually, Tosfos doesn't mention the Rambam. He lived after them, but they're contemporary with them, whatever, but they mention the shita, that if we say Taifinan lay, that we force him, then how does that work? So Tosfos answers, it's true. In principle, if she says Mois alai, then that's valid ground to force him to divorce her. However, there is always the possibility that he can always look choyza. He can always manage to convince her that, you know what, I'm not me, I'll stick to you. So still, it's not necessarily a given that he's going to divorce her. Basically, yes. Elo Amar Rava. So no, rather Rava says, we have to understand the Braita as follows. Again, the original Braita was, the guy says, Harei Gitech Almanas, that you marry Pliny. So we said, Loi Tinosei Him, this is Loi Tetei. And we're trying to figure out, who is it that she's not supposed to marry, and who is it that if she married, then B'di Evet, she doesn't have to get divorced from. So now Rava says, it means like this, Harei Loi Tinosei Loi Loi V'Loi La'achar. Really, she's not allowed to marry either the guy mentioned in the Tanai, or anybody else. She shouldn't marry this guy because people are going to think that you're giving away your wives as presents. She can't marry anybody else either because the Tanai has to be fulfilled. Incidentally, by the way, the Rambam, based on this, paskins, and the halacha is like Rava, but the Rambam actually paskins that, and the Rambam explains, the Rambam understands all Gemara to be saying the only way to fulfill the Tanai is actually for her to marry this guy first. Before, Rava was given the scenario according to the asking of Nachman. Meaning, in other words, that Rava was given the scenario according to Nachman that why don't you have that maybe you're thinking she can marry Shimon and then later on get divorced from him and marry Reuven, and I'm arguing that doesn't work because it's not completely in her hands. But I'm on hold. The Maskona of the Gemara is saying that actually that wouldn't even work for a different reason. The Tanai that I'm divorcing you on the night that you marry Reuven means that she has to marry Reuven first for the Tanai to be fulfilled. Yeah. So therefore, so that's what Rava is saying. I mean, she shouldn't marry neither him nor somebody else. And La'acha Lo'tinotze, she can't marry anybody else. The boy of Piyum Lo'tinotze, because she does have to fulfill her Tanai. La'acher, to somebody else. Yeah, actually, yeah. But the Imnitzas Loi, but if she marries this guy mentioned in the Tanai, Loi Teitzah, then we don't force her to get divorced. Commission Gzeira Lam Kinnam. Because just because of this Gzeira, Nishasein, Mosin, Zelazer, we're not going to force her to get divorced on that basis. On the other hand, it's a Gzeira, it's a chash that people are going to say such a thing. It's not a strong enough reason to force them to get divorced. There's no actual Isser Daraiser, anything that could potentially lead to an Isser Daraiser.
Yeah. To get divorced?
Yeah, we have many cases where Nisus located. We've had many cases where something where L'Hachila, a couple shouldn't get married, but the evidence they did, then we don't force them to get divorced. Yeah. On the other hand, L'Achir takes it, but if she gets married to somebody else, then she does have to get divorced, the boy will cumul it's not, because she has to fulfill her tonight. So again, if we say not like the Rambam, if we say like other Rishonim learn that as long as at some later date, she marries the guy, then the Tanai has still been fulfilled, then fine. What the Gemara means is that Rava is saying, the fact is, we don't know for sure whether it's going to be fulfilled or not. What if her second husband never divorces her, or she dies before him, or whatever, then the Tanai has never been fulfilled. According to the Rambam, that's the only way to fulfill the Tanai is to marry this guy first. Then what Rava is saying is means just exactly what it sounds like. That
the second guy has a brother that she doesn't know, and she has to do evil. How is she going to cope with that?
Well, same thing. No, I mean, it would be yes. But, yes.
I guess even this guy is not killed yet.
So, no. Well, no. So what we're saying is actually, no. It is a valid Tanai, and therefore, if she doesn't end up marrying this guy, at some point, according to the other Rishonim, and first, according to the Rambam, then the get has not taken effect, and therefore, she's Nesh Ish. Yeah. Everything that we have in this parish so far is a pretty wild concept when you get down to it. But you know that's how the Gemara works. Yeah. Okay. Tanya Kavasei Rava. We learn a Braisa, understanding another Braisa to explain the first Braisa exactly as Rava says. mean that it says harizu lo tinasa lo lo, when it says she shouldn't marry, means a few lines before the two down. No, that's a few lines before that. The line we can taste it. She should not get married neither to the guy mentioned in the Tanai nor to anybody else, again, for the reasons Rava said. But if she married this guy mentioned in the Tanai, she doesn't have to get divorced. But if she marries somebody else, then she doesn't have to get divorced.
So the
gzera
is not strong enough to this guy, but it's strong enough to
somebody else. Well, it's not a matter of gzera with somebody else. With somebody else, it's a matter of an unfulfilled tonight. With him, it's only a matter of gzera, and a gzera is not, this gzera is not a strong enough reason to force them to get divorced. Well, obviously, if he wants to, sure, that would be the right thing to do, but yeah. Turn it up on him. More about Tanoyim. If a husband says to his wife, I'm giving you get on condition that you go up to the sky, which is something impossible. Actually, Tosfos mentions the possibility that maybe it's possible through Kabbalah.
She goes to Houston Space Station and she goes to space.
First of all, in terms of those days, it wasn't possible. And second of all, would that be considered Tali Rakia? I don't know. What exactly do you define as the Rakia? I mean, you're necessarily, you have the Rakia, Vayasa, the Kimasa Rakia, Vayavdil, the separation, Bena Mayim, Asher, Bena Mayim, there's something, there's supposed to be something physical that is the Rakia. At what point, how far do you have to go in space before you reach that thing? Okay, whatever, in terms of what there was in the time of the Gemara anyway, there wasn't a possibility. Anyway, Tosfos mentions that you could, in principle, do it Ali Day Shein. So therefore, in principle, it might be a tonight that's possible to accomplish. But basically, our Gemara is taking it as something that can't be fulfilled. And besides, also the Rosh says that besides, if you do it derech nes, then that wouldn't be a valid fulfillment of the tonight anyway. Because when the husband said chitali l'rakia, he meant using natural means. He didn't mean using Kabbalah. Anyway. Or amanas chiteri l'tahoim. He says on condition that you go down to the depth. Well, say down to the center of the earth or something. Yeah. Amanashtivli Konashal Balad Amos, or he says on condition that you swallow a stick 4 amas long, which are the whole body is 3 amas, the whole body is in various places says it's only 3 amas long, so that's impossible. Or Amanashtivli Konab and Kufama, or on condition that you bring me a reed 100 amas long, they don't grow that tall. On condition that you cross the Mediterranean on foot, all of those ain't a get. All of those, it's not a valid get. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema says in such a thing is a get. What would it mean? It would mean it's a get, but the tnai is not a tnai, basically. Any tnai that at the end is not going to be able to be fulfilled. The hisna all of mitchilasa, and he made it such a tnai at the beginning. Eina elak machfliga b'dvarim b'kasher. Then it's just considered as if like he's exaggerating. He's just like the get is still kosher because he didn't really mean that the get is contingent on such a tnai. Yeah. Okay. Well, first of all, the Rambam holds that not. The Rambam holds that if you say amanas, you don't need tnai kafel and all these things. Actually, no, that's not amanas. That's me'achshav. But maybe it is amanas. I don't remember. But whatever. Okay. So you have to assume that he said all the not always when the Gemara lists no, it doesn't always list the all the details. Because we're expected to understand that yeah, whatever rules you need for a tnai, yeah. Amr of Nachman Amr. I'm halacha could be a different tema. Yeah, halacha is like him, such a tenayim. So such, and then it's not. He's not a tenayim. Amr of Nachman Tzuchmat. Masnifin damin deka. As a matter of fact, we can prove this from the wording of a Mishnah in Bava Metzia. The Mishnah in Bava Metzia that lists the basic concepts of tenayim. The context over there is talking about, for example, a case where a shomer, let's say, makes it a shomer is going to be watching or borrowing or whatever something, and he makes a tnai that he's going to be chayav for less than what the Torah obligates him. A shoyer, let's say, for example, we know is chayav for anything that happens to the things that make matzah halacha. But suppose they make a condition, the Mishnah discusses it, but they suppose they make a condition that he says, I want a lesser degree of liability. Such an achlok of panoyim over there. A shomer, well, any shomer. I mean, it could be the same kind of thing with a shomer chinam. Let's say a shomer chinam is potter on pretty much everything except for pshia. So okay, let's say he wants to make a condition that I'll be potter for pshia as well. So there's a machlokes over there, Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Can you do such a thing, or is it called masna mashkasa batera, which we'll discuss more on the base? Anyway, so in that connection, the Mishnah mentions the basic rules of what constitutes the Tanai. The Mishnah says, Kol she'efshelo l'kayim b'sayich, right? Anything that can be accomplished at the above Matiya. Above Matiya, towards the end of the 8th parak. Kol she'efshelo l'kayim b'sayich, right? Anything that could be fulfilled at the end, the hisnal of the tefillah, saying you made tefillah at the beginning when you first made the deal, tefillah t'nai kayim, and that the t'nai is valid, which implies ha'efshelo, but if it's not possible to do it at the end, t'nai batal. Shemamina. So that proves that there you have a Stam Mishnah, which tells us what Rabbi Huda ben Tema is telling us in our Braisa. So therefore, that's the halacha. Now, Diboilu,
doesn't talk about the
debt. No, but it means, in other words, therefore, the same thing. In other words, the Tanai is bottle, the Maisa is Kayam. That's what it means. Any time when we said the Tanai is bottle, it means the Maisa that's attached to that Tanai still exists. Yeah. Diboilu. Now, so these are things that are physically impossible. Now let's talk about things, like Gemara is going to talk about. What if you have things that are physically possible but are also to do? So, Iboilu, Hareza Gita Chamanat Shetoshli B'sar Chazir Mahu. What if he says, I'm giving you a get on condition that you eat Chazaflesh? Physically it's possible to do, but it's also to do. Amar Abaya Hihi. Abaya says it's exactly the same thing. The same way as a t'nai to go up into space is not a valid t'nai. The same way a t'nai to each chazir is also.
And the get is still
kosher. Rava Amar, no. After all, after the achla v'lakya, after all, it is physically possible for her to eat this chazir flesh, and okay, she'll be subject to malchus, okay, but it is physically possible to do. Okay, now we said before, when we quote the braisa that we quoted, we mentioned all the impossible cases where the Tanakh.
You can make a gift of the tzali of the night that you make an avera.
That's, let's talk about another base. We'll talk about Masna Amashakos of Atara. Wait. But first things first. Okay, now, we learned in the braisa, the expression in the braisa, we had that the Tanakhama had said that all these impossible things is ain't a get. The get itself is not valid. Rabbi Huda ben Tema had said kazeh get, and they said a klal. Now kazeh is a mute, implying only in this case is it a valid get, only in the cases mentioned, but klal means a more general rule. So we have to figure out, according to Abaya and according to Rava, what the respective, what the mute and what the ribui in Rabbi Huda ben Tema's words. It's not really a kratz klal, it's absurd, but it's a similar concept. Rabbi Huda ben Tema obviously is trying to tell us that I'm limiting my rule, I'm limiting the applicability, saying that it's a kosher to get only to certain cases, but I'm broadening it to other cases. Which is which? So, la'abaya klal la'asuyah b'sar chazir, abaya focuses on the word klal. So he says, if you're saying a klal, that you're including other cases not mentioned, then it means not only the cases of physical impossibilities, but also the cases of halachic impossibilities. Sar chazir, for example. The Rava, kazeh, l'mo'otib sar chazir, according to Rava, on the contrary. He says, kazeh, only like this, only cases like the ones mentioned, physical impossibilities, are exclusively those kind that are physically impossible, make it that the t'nai is invalid and the get is kosher. Something that's halakhically impossible is not. So later on, the Gemara is going to deal with what does Abaya do with the kazeh, what does the Rava do with the klal. We'll get to that. But first, yeah. Okay. Meisa, the Gemara says, I have a contradiction to Rava. Abraisa says, Hareza gita chamanat she'ibali l'ploini. The person gives his wife a get, says that I'm giving you this get on condition that you have relations with ploini, outside of marriage even. It doesn't matter. So fine, if the t'nai is fulfilled, then it's a valid get, and if not, then not. It's the regular kind of t'nai. On the other hand, if he says, if he gives her a get, he says, on condition that you do not have relations with my father or with your father, things which are all the things which again are physically possible, but also la'alacha, we don't have to worry that she's allowed to get married to somebody else. We don't have to worry, Nivala, Rashi says, even though it's Lashon Ovar, really means Lashon Osid. We don't have to worry that sometime in the future she might end up having relations with them and then the get will be retroactively invalid. We don't have to worry about that.
The get is valid
and she can get married right away. We're not worried that such a t'nai is going to be broken. What's the implication? The ilu amanashti bali la'abo lovis la'tatami. Now, the Braitha did not mention a case that it could have mentioned. What if he gives you a get and says, this get is only valid on condition that you do one of these BSF services with my father or with your father? It didn't mention that. La'abaya nicha. Right. La'abaya nicha. So, according to Abaya, that's fine. According to him, such a tnai, because it's impossible halacha, is therefore considered to be as if it was impossible physically. So therefore, it wouldn't be according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, the get would still be a get. The braisa didn't need to tell us about it. But Rava kasha. But according to Rava, even Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema would agree that in such a case the get is possible. Unless the Tanai is actually fulfilled, so why didn't the Braisa mention that case, according to Rava? The answer is, Omalach Rava. Bishleim of Sar Chazir. Look, you know what? You can make a distinction. When it comes to her eating Chazir Flesh, after all, yes, it's all in her hands. Efshad Achlo Velakia. It is, after all, possible for her to accomplish it. She could, in principle, eat it and just still be Chayav Malkus, but it is possible. Pliny Nami, and when it comes to the condition, the first condition mentioned in this last braisa that said I'm not to keep barley with Pliny. Yes, it's an iser, but after the mashach the baby mamona, she could after all give him shoychad. So now there's two possibilities. It could mean either Rashi says that she could give him shoychad to marry her, and then it'll be the heter that he's having relations with. At least there's a possibility. There's no necessary issue involved, because she could actually pay him off in order to marry her and therefore get the tanai fulfilled. Or even not. There could be an issue, but after all, okay. So it's a lesser issue. It's only an issue
pnuya. Tibali means with intent of marriage.
Doesn't matter. Tibali just means you have relations with him. Could mean marriage or it could mean no. So therefore, so those kinds of things are things.
Tizana
would imply it has to be Znos, but it's not necessarily. Remember, if the Tanai is fulfilled, she's not an Eshes Ish. Okay, there is actually, I think the Rashba points out the fact that on the face of it, I mean, when they start things, it would still be an issue because the Tanai hasn't been fulfilled yet, only by Gemar Bia would it be fulfilled. Okay, but the fact is, it will be fulfilled, and therefore it'll turn out that it was a BS Heter. So yeah. In those cases, Rava would argue at least there is the possibility of getting it accomplished. Either outright the Isser, fine, she'll get Malkus, or even in the case of Tibal and Leplani, it's possible to make it happen beheter. Ela Abava Avich B'Nidah Kaima. When it comes to, suppose, this hypothetical case that you want to say that Braisa should have mentioned, that you should be with my father or with your father, B'Nidah Kaima, is it up to her? Fine. You could argue she might be willing to do the Isser in order for the get to take effect, just like she'd be willing to eat the Chazir flesh. You can't force them to do an Isser. And that's a serious Isser. Now, we're not just talking an Isser Pnuya. We're talking an Isser Mrs. Basin. You can't. So therefore, Rava would argue that Braisa didn't mention that case because that is different than the other cases. In order for it to be a valid tonight, it has to be said. I don't care, Rava says, I don't care whether it involves an Isser or not, but it has to be an Isser that she would be capable on her own of making happen.
Even with a Shochad.
Even with Shochad, yeah, but not something, not a serious Isser like that, which you can't realistically get.
Give him 200 million?
It doesn't matter. I mean, if this is based, then you can't expect that they're going to give in to such a thing. Especially, remember, also, when it comes to Amanashi Tivali with Pliny, there's a way to do it to Heter anyway. She doesn't even need to get him to do it to Isser. She could give him Shoichat to marry her.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
About the case of the father.
But in the case of the father, there's no way to do that. She's an heir to them. She's an heir to them, right. There's no way to be master in it. So therefore, so Rava says, yes, I would make that distinction between something that there's something that's physically impossible, which Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema says is not a valid tonight. There's something which is an Isser where it's physically possible, but it depends on somebody else's consent, and you can't expect to get their consent. That, I agree, is also considered physically impossible. But then you have the case of an Isser where it's possible she's able to do it unilaterally, or via Shechad or whatever. That, I would say, is still considered a valid, that I would argue is considered a valid tonight. Okay, Rava klal lasu ya'abav avich. So according to Rava, then the klal that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira said, it comes to add this case of abav avich, that's considered eyesh l'taimer, because again it requires somebody else's cooperation in the avera. Kazeh, the mulki b'sar chazir. And again, the kazeh comes to exclude the case of b'sar chazir, because according to Rava, given that it's something that could be done, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tamer would not argue that would not consider that to be an invalid tnai. He would consider it a valid tnai, and the get is dependent on it. L'abaya, klal l'asur b'sar chazir. According to Abaya, on the contrary, the case of klal, the klal in Rabbi Yehuda ben Tamer's statement comes to exclude the case of b'sar chazir. It comes to include the case of b'sar chazir. Just like going up into space is impossible, Menashe Tali, the Tohoim, whatever, all the cases over there, the same way b'sar chazir is impossible. And kazeh l'morti ploni. And the case of kazeh, where he's saying such a thing is considered is valid, that would be the case of shetibali l'ploni, that you have relations with ploni, where then even Abaye would argue that given that she's able to give him shoychad, and to marry her or to have relations with her, then that's considered possible.
Shaloi
tibali l'plaini. What?
That's
an
avol. Yeah.
There's
no problem.
Let's see. I mean, if he says almanach shaloi tibali l'plaini, I mean, on the face of it, yeah. I mean, on the face of it, it's like any other tonight. She has the I mean.
There's no
Easter,
there's nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Pashas is the regular tonight. Yeah.
So
what? So the Lechura then it would be considered a valid tonight according to everybody. Yeah.
So she could marry everybody else. Okay.
I mean, there is always the possibility that what if later on that guy rapes her and then makes it that the get was invalid retroactively? Would you say that she could get married while the guy's alive? Basically, I don't know.
She would
funny. Yeah. Yeah. But Tibali. No, Tibali is passive. The word Tibali is passive. Yeah. Tivarl is active, but the woman is a passive one. Yeah. Mesvid. Now the Gemara says I have a contradiction the other way around against Abaya. Another Braita says, Hareza gita chamanach shetoichli b'sar chazir. If somebody says, here's your get on condition that you eat chazir flesh, or v'imhoisa zorna, or let's take another scenario, she was a zora, she's the Israelis, she's the daughter of Israel, the wife of Israel, whatever, and he says, chamanach shetoichli b'truma, on condition that you eat truma. Or another case, the imhoisa nazira amanach shetishti yayin. Or he says, or a case where she's in nazira, and he says, I'm giving you a get on condition that you drink wine. In all those cases, niskayim atznai hari is a get, v'imlava in a get. If the tznai is fulfilled, it's a valid get. If not, then not. So now it's the other way around. The rova michal abayakasha. Rova, that fits very well. According to him, those are all things that she'd be capable of doing unilaterally and taking them out. According to Abaya, why is he saying it's a valid tznai? A couple of mafreshim talk about why the Braita had to give three different examples. The Chedusha Rim, I think it is, talks about that maybe because we want to distinguish between things that might be able to be bottled or not in different quantities. Psar Chazir, for example, can be bottled 1 in 60, Truma 1 in 100. Isurei Nozer can't be bottled because they're Dabar Sheyesh L'Matirin. Are they things where it would ever be possible to where there ever would be a possibility of eating them? Sa'al chazir, there's never a possibility. Truma, eventually, for example, if her husband dies without giving her a get, she could in principle marry a kohen and be able to eat truma. And nazira, eventually, her nazira will be over and she'll be able to drink wine. Anyway, so what does Abaya do with this braisa? Amalach Abaya misaver divrei akoli. What do you think? This braisa goes according to everybody? Look, you know what? The Rabbanon in the previous braita said that an impossible tnai makes it that the get is bottle, and therefore I include an impossible tnai and I also include things that are also. So our braita goes according to the Rabbanon. You and I, Rava and I, are arguing about Rabbi Yehuda ben Tamer's svara. But this braisa isn't relevant to that. Okay, now the Gemara asks, related to what you were mentioning before, but typically the masna masha kasa b'torahu. Never mind all of this. Okay, so let's say this is something that she's able to fulfill. Say, okay, Rava had a point. She could, in principle, eat the Psar Chazir and get Malchus. Isn't this a case of Masna Masha Kosta Batoda, somebody who makes a T'nai against what it says in the Torah? And the rule is, B'chala Masna Masha Kosta Batoda T'nai Batal. But if a person makes such a T'nai, it is Batal. So how does he have the ability to make a T'nai that a get should depend on, or anything? It doesn't have to be a get, which Gator Shit itself is one of the 613 mitzvahs. It's fine. It doesn't have to be that. It could be something that's completely different or shush. How can you make it depend on violating something in the Torah? One word of Adra Breder of Iker, of Acha Breder of Iker, really. You know what the case is when we say that rule, when we say that making a T'nai against what the Torah says, the T'nai is Bottle, that is given Sheruk Susavai Nasa. That is, for example, you have a case where a man is Makadish a woman, and he says, I'm being Makadish you on condition that I'm not going to be Chayiv in Sheruk Susavai Nasa. The three things that the Torah says a husband is obligated to his wife. So, what do you mean?
Limits?
No, not only that, something similar to that. What's the point is, a shade of susvay nasa, that says, what is it, food, clothing, and regular relations. There, dehu ka'okar, he is actually being oiker what it says in the Torah. Which means, Rashi says, once he gave her kiddushin, at that point she's his wife, he becomes chayev in all those things immediately in the Torah. So he can't make a t'nai on that, because then he's undoing what the Torah itself says. If the Torah itself puts those obligations on him, he's taking them off. In this case, in principle, she's the one who's uprooting what the Torah says. She says that the condition is that you don't eat Pesach Hazir. Who's the one going and eating Pesach Hazir? She is, not him. So therefore, it's not Masna Hamasha Kosova Torah. Masna Hamasha Kosova Torah is where you're doing something that you're saying that I'm not going to be obligated in something that the Torah says I'm obligated in, for example.
You make the sign and you break it.
Similar. It's not only in that case. Tosfos gives another example. Suppose that we know there's a din of onah, that you're not allowed to undercharge or overcharge. You're not allowed to underpay or overcharge more than a certain amount. Suppose that somebody sells something to somebody else and says, I'm selling it to you, I'm anas that you don't have a claim of onah against me.
1/6.
What we say is, if the difference is less than 1/6, he was moichel on it. Exactly 1/6 is considered a na. Shtus kano machzor a na. The kinyan is a kinyan, but he has to pay him the difference. And more than a sixth, he has the ability to take back to cancel the sale and take back his money or his object or whatever. So if somebody says, for example, somebody sells something and says, I'm a nastra in lecha olai oina, on condition that you don't have a claim of oina against me, that doesn't work. That's considered masna mashakos of a Torah. Because the Torah says you do have a claim of oina. You don't have the ability to say that this sale is on such a condition. You do have the ability to say, for example, that on condition that you'll be moichala to me. That's different. The din of oina exists. You have the ability. Tosfos gives another example. Let's say that you can say to somebody, for example. So here's another distinction. Tosfos says, let's say you can tell somebody, we know that normally if you rip my clothing, you're going to be chayav to pay. However, go ahead and rip my clothing, I'll manas that you will be potter from paying me. That's fine. I have the ability to be moichel on that. But I don't have the ability to say, I'll manas that there's no din of nezek. Because the din of nezek exists independent of what you're saying. So that those kinds of things are called masna mashakos of atara.
So there is the
Mishnah in Bava Metzia that mentions the Tznoyim about the Shoyimrim that I was mentioning before, you have Machloikos over there between the Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, is such a thing considered Masna Mashakos of Torah? I think it's your Meir says that it is, and Rabbi Yehuda, or I might have the Mandamas backwards, says that no, the Dover Shavu Moment, Tznoyikayim, that because the Dover Shavu Moment, they have the ability to do that. The halacha actually, if we don't drink ksubas, is that you do have the ability to say not share in ksus because those are monetary things, those are davashim mammon. The halacha is that tnai shem mammon is kayim. With oino, he doesn't have the ability to, that's not a davashim mammon.
What is it?
Oino has marital relations, that's not a davashim mammon.
Oino
versus oino. I'm referring to Sheikh Susva Oino, the husband and wife, yeah. Right. So that kind of thing is masnah mashakasa v'torah. The Torah imposes a certain obligation or a certain din or whatever, and you're trying to take it and you're trying to take it away. You're trying to say that it doesn't exist, basically. Oh, yeah, you're not saying it doesn't exist. You're saying that the get is contingent on eating b'sar chazir, and she goes there and eats b'sar chazir. After all, she's only doing it in order to fulfill his tonight. It comes out that ultimately he's the one who made the mitzvah be broken. No, let's put it differently. So what's the case where we say that such a tnai is bottle? Again, to share of tzvaynasa, the vaday ka'akar. There's no question that it's going to be nectar. He's actually saying he's uprooting again, because here's actually where Rashi says that he had given her kiddushin, he became chayev in these things, and now he's uprooting a chiyuv that was already on him.
And she says just for this night or this week or something like that.
Well, in principle, he's chayev in them every day. I mean, but, yeah, okay. Here he's telling her that it's in other words, in that case, it's inevitable. If he says I'm not chayev in sher ksus va'ona, then it's inevitable. There's going to be no sher ksus. There's not going to be any share. There's not going to be any ksus. There's not going to be any ona unless we force him to. That unless we tell him that that's not doesn't work and you have to do it. Aval hacha. But over here, mi ka'amala le'sagya de'le'acha. After all, is he telling her that of necessity you have to eat this p'sach hazir? There's always the option, let's say, well, let's take it. She could always decide, I'm not going to eat it. And finally, yet won't take effect. That's not considered masna mashakasa v'atera. And therefore, is where there's no way out of it, where inevitably it's going to happen that a mitzvah, is gonna, that a mitzvah or a din or whatever of the Torah is going to be nispasal. And again, Dovash of Mammon, such things are valid, because Allah is that when the Dovash of Mammon, Tanoi Kayim, and therefore you have the ability to say that, for example, by sharing source. But over here, it's not considered, Masa Hamashal Kazav HaTorah, because you're not saying that inevitably the din must be, the mitzvah must be broken. Yeah. Now, going back to the Mishnah, we learned in the Mishnah that we started talking in the Mishnah about the case where the husband gives advice to get, says, Hareach v'teres l'chol adam elo l'plomni, which got us into this whole discussion what elo means, it means chutz, it means amanaf, and got us into the general question of tnoyim that involve marrying or not marrying other people. So we said that the Chachamim said such a get is no good, and the Mishnah continued. Kate said, "Yaseh, what do you do in order to fix up the situation? You let her in, you take back the get from her. The husband takes back the get from her. The Yaseh is none. The Lord gives it back to her. The Yomalah Harei Matar Sechol Adam, and he says Lechol Adam without making any exceptions. So the Gemara says, Man Tana, who is the Tana who says that you actually have to do that? That you actually have to take it back from her and give it to her again, rather than just verbally saying after the fact, Harei Matar Sechol Adam." So Chizkiyah says that would be only according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Netanya, we learned in the previous parak, we have the case over there where the husband says to the wife, here is a shtar chayiv, and she opens it up and finds that it's a get. So we said there, Rav Shimon ben Elazar says that the only way to salvage the situation, given that it wasn't given as a valid get, if she didn't have the das to receive it as a get, then you have to take it back from her and give it to her, and then give it to her and say, hey, gitzich, and then say, here's your get. So our Mishnah is saying the same thing. Whereas according to Rebbe over there who argues with Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who says that you can say, hey, gitzich, or harayat megureshes, after the fact, then that also works. Then that would work in our Mishnah as well. Actually, no. You could even say that our Mishnah goes according to Rebbe. Dilchoin Omar, your person said the following. Your person meaning Rav Kahana. Now, what do we mean your person? Rav Kahana came from Babel. The famous story at the end of Baba Kama, how Rav Kahana came and he was supposed to keep a low profile in Rav Yochanan's yeshiva for some time, but then he eventually ended up being demoted many rows in the yeshiva because Rav Yochanan was asking him questions and keeping a low profile. He wasn't answering until he figured enough of that already, and he started answering, and afterward eventually Rav Yochanan realized what an autumn gobbly. It's a long story over there. Anyway, we'll get to that later this year, Rez Hashem. Anyway, so Rav Kahana was from Babel. Rashi explains Chizkiyah was also from Babel. Chizkiyah, who was actually Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe, is the son of Rabbi Chiya. We know the famous thing. We know Rabbi Chiya came from Babel, together with his sons, Yehuda and Chizkiyah, their names were. The famous expression the Gemara has in Sukkah, that there came a point when the Torah was being forgotten in Eretz Yisrael, and then Ezra came and reestablished it in Eretz Yisrael. Later on, Hillel did the same thing, and later on, Rabbi Chiya Obanav did the same thing.
Yes.
So Rabbi Chiya and his two sons, Chizkiyah and Yehuda. So Rashi learns then that Rabbi Yochanan is speaking to Chizkiyah. He's saying, your own person, your own landsman, like Rav Kahana, has a different explanation of it, which we'll say in a second. Tosfos has a bunch of questions on that. Basically, some of it is because of the Seder of Manim. How is it possible that when Rav Kahana came to Babel to learn under Rabbi Yochanan, how is it possible that Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe, Chizkiyah, was b'chol still alive? That when he came from Babel to Israel, how is it possible Chizkiyah was even still alive? Chizkiyah was much, much older. And we don't know exactly, but whatever. We can't assume that he was still alive. And anyway, Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't have had the whole point in the story over there is that Rav tells Rav Kahana, you're going to go learn by Rabbi Yochanan, by the great yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, to keep a low profile over there. What great yeshiva? If his Rebbe Chizkiyah is still alive, he should be telling him to go learn by Chizkiyah. So therefore, Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos says the Dilchoin is Rabbi Yochanan had many Talmidim from Babel. No, besides Rav Kahana, he had many Talmidim from Babel. So therefore, when he says Dilchoin, he's speaking to his Talmidim, who most of them are, many if not most of them are from Babel themselves. He turns to them and he says, Dilchoin, your own guy, your own landsman, Rav Kahana, has a different explanation. Anyway, what's the explanation? Dilchoin Amar, your landsman said, Shiny Hacha, it's different in our case, because after all, yes, in our Mishnah, at least there was a kinyan of the get enough that she became posel l'korona. We learned at the beginning of the parak that there's the concept of reyach haget, that when you have just the aroma of a get, namely when he says hareyach m'teres l'chol adam, even if he doesn't, even if he gives you the get and says you're not mutter to anybody, let alone if he says chutz or amanas or whatever, we said according to chachamim that according to both the chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer, she becomes posel to marry a kohen. We learned it from a pasuk over there, v'yishu gerusha me'isha. So therefore, she was kohenet to that extent that now she's posel l'korona. Therefore, in other words, there was to a certain extent the first giving of the get was valid. So therefore, in order to undo that and make it fully valid that she should actually be able to remarry with it, you actually have to take it back from her and give it to her with the proper state, with the proper statement. As opposed to in the previous parak where he gave it to her and said kinsi shtar chayv zeh, where he didn't say it was a get at all, Rebbe would argue that that nesina by itself didn't yet accomplish anything because she didn't know that it was a get until she opened it up and read it. So that would be different. So you could argue, therefore, that there's a difference. Rebbe would say, in that case, you don't have to give it to her again. The giving was accomplished. Now all you need is the statement. Here, the giving sort of accomplished too much, kind of. It was already given and started accomplishing what a get is supposed to accomplish. So therefore, in order to have it fully have its effect, you need to give you proper giving with the declaration.
Be fully taking it back
and giving and saying, Harayat Mutaris, that would make it.
Yes.
Well, provided that it wasn't written into the get, which is the next thing.
Right.
The Mishnah said, "Tos for v'sechay." That
would be
mutar. She wouldn't be mutar to her kohen. Of course, not. She's a grusha.
If she takes the get
back and gives it to her and says, "Harei mutar," she's also to her kohen. She was also to her kohen beforehand.
If he took the get back and he says, "You must,"
but that thing it gets she can.
Right. No. But that's what I'm. If he takes the get back
and gives it to her and says, Harayat Mutaris L'Chodom, then she'll be able to marry.
Right, she can't marry
her. No, okay, but she'll be able to marry Israel, yeah.
But if he took the get back and he said, you're not divorced, or you're not...
Too late, so it's a very rare get, yeah. Okay, cost for the Socha, we said, the Mishnah had said that if you wrote the Snai into the actual get, so Amar of Safra, cost for the Socha, the Mishnah says, literally, that he wrote it inside it, meaning only if it was written, not, for example, if he said it to the agent. The cost of the sefer. Now, well, of course, that's what the Mishnah says. The answer is Mao de Tema Hanimilu La'acharat Torah. Yes, but you might say like this: if the Mishnah might be talking about the case where you wrote it after the Torah. Remember, we learned that there's a Torah and then there's a Torah. The Torah is the basic statement of the get, Harayat Mutaris L'Chodom, the name, the date, etc. In other words, you can have like this. What if before the get is even written, he tells the sofer and he tells the edim, write the get having in mind this condition that I'm doing chutz or almanas or whatever. Is that okay? So you would think maybe that the Mishnah is distinguishing whether it's verbal or whether it's oral, only if it's l'achar ha-Torah, only if you wrote the whole Torah and then you wrote the Tanai, then the Mishnah would be saying that's no good, but if you said the Tanai at that point, then you still have the ability to undo it by taking back the get and giving it. But if you were to tell the Edim and the Sofer before they even wrote the Torah, such a Tanai, maybe it would be completely possible, and there's no way to undo it, because you would say then basically when they wrote it, they didn't have fully Lishma in mind, they didn't have the proper intention in mind, because they had a Chutz intention in mind. Kamash Malon, that's your Safra's Chiddush, that the Mishnah is not making that distinction. The Mishnah doesn't care what you told the Edim or the Sofer or what have you, we only care about what's actually written in the actual get. Rava says no. As a matter of fact, actually, the Mishnah is only talking about the distinction of writing or not, if it was written la'achar ha-Torah, if it was written into the get after the Torah, versus said verbally, avalifnei ha-Torah. But if he said it verbally, without even writing it in the get, before the Torah, afilal pen nami posel, then it would be posel even if he made tishnai before the writing of the Torah, because then the Torah was written with the wrong intention.
First, pointing to Rava, you have to write the Torah, and then...
And only then, if you said such a thing, chutz, then you could undo it by taking back the get and giving it to her again. But as the Rava l'tame, and in fact, Rava goes according to his own svara, according to his own shitta, the amalu Rava lahanu to kas v'gitti, because Rava would tell people who wrote gittin, shisku shtuki l'baal, make sure the husband stays quiet, So he doesn't make any tonight. Abdikasvisul over Torah to Gita until you write the Torah of the get. Because if he makes any such tonight before the Torah is written, then the get then will completely invalidate the get. Whereas if he says it after the Torah, then we have the ability to make him undo the tonight afterwards. The reason is because then they're having the wrong intention, because then they're writing the get, the Torah from the get, which is the essence of the get. They're writing it with this tonight in mind of chutz, which according to the almanas or whatever, which according to the, basically there's something missing in the lishma kind of, yeah. Tosfos points out, by the way, this is really belongs to the Mishnah more, that the Mishnah had said that if you wrote such a Tanai in a get and then you erased it, then the get would be possible. Tosfos said in principle that means if you wrote other things in the get and then you erased them, it should be fine. However, the Velt is machmir, that the Velt has the minute to be machmir, that there should not be any erasures in a get at all. So even though in principle, if there are, you can write on the last line that the such and such is erased in order that it can't be falsified, but we're not playing on that. We say that any erasures in a get make it possible.